Welcome to an off-season edition of the Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. My boss, Dave Posner, he is in the San Diego Union Tribune building in the audio booth. Is that what we're calling it, Dave? Well, we are really becoming big time high tech.
It's the audio booth. I don't know if it has a name yet. I'm shooting for the Kevin Acey audio booth, or maybe the Hot Lava audio booth. Maybe it'll be a competition to see which podcast is most popular, and then we'll name the audio booth after
that podcast. Let's work on that.
So
I think this is our second or third. I think we split maybe our first off-season Hot Lava podcast into two parts.
Correct.
But anyway, this is the second time you and I get together to talk about the Padres in the off-season. The general managers' meetings, we're all 30 general managers, some of their assistants, members of the commissioner's office, and a whole bunch of media get together. And this year happened to be at La Costa, so that was nice. And what happens at these general manager meetings, as we taped this on Thursday, they were basically, we taped this on Friday, these were basically Monday through Thursday. There's a lot of housekeeping, yada, yada, yada. What everyone's interested in is this is when the hot stove season starts. Jay, what did you find most interesting about the Padres?
Some of the names that you threw out were, I thought were interesting. Sonny Gray, I think, in particular, seems like a legitimate candidate. The Yankees would want to move, based on some of the tweets from Yankee fans, after your story yesterday. I remember one, in particular said, "I'll drive him to the airport." Which of course made me think of a Seinfeld episode, but almost everything makes me think of a Seinfeld episode. So, We won't go into there, but I think Sonny Gray, and I saw someone else on Twitter say, "Oh, I don't want any more projects." I don't look at Sonny Gray as a project. I look at Sonny Gray as a finished pitcher who was pretty good for Oakland, and then he wound up in a situation where maybe he wasn't comfortable and just never seemed to click there. But I think from what people have said, and he did show some flashes last year, Sonny Gray is a legitimate guy, and certainly for, you know, again, it's only for 1 year, so the price I wouldn't think would be terribly high for him. So that was one name that stood out. What can you tell us about Sonny Gray and that situation?
Well, what was it, a 4.90 ERA last year? I think what he make a I forget what it was, but he ended up getting demoted. Half of his appearances were starts. He ended up getting demoted. I think he did start at the end of the season. He wouldn't be the first guy to have struggled in New York. Had sustained success. His success in Oakland far outweighs his, in terms of, you know, the length of it, time in a season and a half in New York. And actually was pretty decent in 2017 for New York after they traded for him. A project, I get it. If you're trying to equate him to like a Phil Hughes or you know, somebody that you're hoping against hope, but that's not what this would be.
Or even a Brian Mitchell or something. It's not like that. I mean, this is a guy who was a very good pitcher. I mean, he had one crummy year in 16, but he was obviously hurt with only 22 starts. But he started 23 games for the Yankees last year and had almost a strikeout per inning.
Yeah. So, look, and it's far more realistic, I think, than Nathan Eovaldi. That was the impression that I got. There would be a heck of a lot of people coming after Eovaldi, right?
Yeah, that seemed to be a little more. When I saw that, I was thinking, boy, I mean, unless Eovaldi really wants to come to San Diego, it seems like he would have better options in terms of, you know, wanting of places where he could go and win right now.
And maybe a team that is looking to win right now would be offering more than the Padres. And in no way am I saying the Padres don't plan to be competitive for Eovaldi, but that's just the facts of it. And when you get more people involved, whereas when you're talking about trades, the Padres are coming from something of a position of strength in that they have players both at the major league level and in the minors for sure that people want. And so, you know, you would think in a situation that they might be able to.
Right. And he's only got 1 year. Something. Someone like Gray only has 1 year left on a deal. He's arbitration eligible. He made $6.5 million last year. I mean, baseball being what it is, he would get a raise on top of, even having a bad season, but let's say you get him for $8 million or something like that. I don't think that would be any sort of issue. Again, one of the questions would be, how much are you willing to give up for a pitcher who, you know, is a little bit of a question mark? I mean, you have to say that just because of last year, but in general is a pretty good pitcher, but only 1 year before free agency. And, you know, what are your chances of signing him? So but that makes the price a lot more palatable than someone like Suarez, the third baseman that you mentioned from Cincinnati this week, where he's got a really favorable contract, I think, for someone who has produced as much as he has offensively. It seems like that would take quite a bit more to get than a Sonny Gray.
Probably, unless you were willing to take on a Homer Bailey, and you know, hey, good. Wow, you'd have someone you could put. you'd have a starting another. That would be a project,
right? That would be. I was going to say that's Phil Hughes 2.0 kind of, Josh Johnson 6.0 or somewhere in that.
I do not think range. that is what the Padres would be looking to do about this young third baseman with the great contract and the really good numbers the last couple of years. He's coming off his first All Star season, Eugenio Suarez, who, you know. I think that the Reds, who are rebuilding, who are looking for, you know, they say pitching, but, you know, it is for sure pitching, but also almost anything that you could give the Reds. The outfield, they might be remaking their outfield.
Right.
So
right.
That's going to be tough, but it's someone that really excites them.
It seems odd he would be available, but like you said, if you offer them enough, you know, or then they would maybe be looking to get three or four pieces for one piece is kind of the situation.
Right.
But I mean, you look at, you know, 60 home runs, 81 home runs the last three seasons, 60 in the last two, you know, the last 2 years with strong adjusted OPS, 115, 135. So it's not just the ballpark. I mean, I don't know that he would come here and hit, you know, 35 home runs playing at Petco, but he could certainly be in the mid to high 20s. So that would be a guy that I think people would get excited about playing third base. It would allow you to put Will Myers back in the outfield again, unless Will Myers is traded. And who knows, you know, where that stands. In fact, why don't we talk about Will Myers? Where you wrote about that this week as well. What are we looking at right now with Will Myers as we sit here in November?
We're looking at him being a Padre for the time being. And by that, I mean, you know, at least 2019. I don't think that they believe. Now, I can't tell you whether the fact that they are giving the impression that Will Myers will be with them and they want Will Myers to be with them and be one of their corner outfielders. Really, they probably would prefer it be left field. And then that leads me to want to talk about the corner outfielders, but we'll do that in a few minutes. I can't tell you whether this confidence in Will Myers has anything to do with the fact that moving his contract would be very difficult.
Right.
You just have to wonder that. But nothing really, but optimism about what Will Myers can be, and really that is as an outfielder. I would not personally rule out. I've read about some guys that have looked horrible at third base, and you know what? You get some practice, you get some time, and you turn good, and I think Will Myers could be one of those guys. The Padres say they do too, but the preference is to get Will Myers back into the outfield.
And I think, you know, if I'm the Padres, there's not really any reason not to be confident in Will Myers as an outfielder. If you're able to put him back there. I mean, obviously it's a little bit of a concern, only healthy enough for half a season last year, but you know, he did play a lot of games in 16 and 17, you know, 157, 155, put up some pretty decent numbers. I mean, I don't know that it's worth what they're paying him, but that's beside the point, because that's what they're paying him. You know, they don't have a choice at this point. I didn't think he was as horrible at third base as some people did. I wouldn't rule out that he could be a decent third baseman. But it seems like the ideal would be to put him in left field, and then either Reyes or Renfro, I mean, whichever, uh-huh. If you keep one of those guys, they're both capable of playing right field. So I don't even think that's an issue there
in terms of
putting Myers in that position. And then you could have, you know, Cordero or Margot in center field, again, depending on what other moves are made, you know, going forward. But I don't see any reason not to be confident in Myers, although I don't know that he's ever going to live up to, you know, what he was billed at one point. But I think you kind of have to look past that at some point and just look at what he is going to produce. And we talked before, right after the season, that a lot of the success, whatever success the Padres are going to have this next season, is going to be based on Will Myers and Eric Hosmer producing numbers worthy of what they're being paid, as opposed to numbers of what, you know, that they produced this last season.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd say it's far more likely that the Padres are able to unavail themselves of one of the corner outfielders, Reyes or Renfro, than it is that they get Eugenio Suarez. So that would still leave them then, when Myers moves out there, needing a third baseman. And I honestly couldn't tell you what they're going to do there. I mean, the options are I don't know. I would need a math degree to figure it out. And if, you know, as far as names that you throw out, you know, if I go to the point where I'm going to write something, it's that I feel really good that the team is interested and that they're, you know, and or there is a good probability that it's going to happen. I couldn't tell you if you know, these guys are going to be in on Moustakas or Josh Donaldson. I don't think so, but you know, I think it's far more likely there's some sort of a stopgap to some extent at third base than that they bring in a name. But you know, with AJ Preller, right, we don't ever rule anything out.
That's definitely true. And then one of the things you threw out as well, especially in terms of the trade for Suarez, was the idea of pitching and controllable pitching that the Reds would be interested in. I'm assuming that Lucchesi and Lauer, excuse me, are at the top of that list.
They are, I think, in turn, they're who the Padres believe they could get something back for. We are talking about kids who are under team control for a long time, who, you know, I think it's almost like insulting them to say they showed potential, but, you know, maybe that's accurate. It's just potential is such a, like a sticky word. These guys showed they could be back end of the rotation at minimum guys in the major leagues, and certainly for $500,000. I would think that as a part of a package for a team that needs pitching, and golly, the Reds could, you know, take you or me, and they wouldn't be any worse in the rotation. So Lucchesi and Lauer are the ones that the Padres believe they can actually get something for.
So you don't think the Reds would take, like, Kennedy and Lockett instead or something? That
you know, you know what?
That might not work.
These guys are going to retool their, like, entire rotation, from my understanding. So who knows? But yeah, it's Lucchesi and Lauer, and look, Padres, all these guys that we talk about, except I really do believe one of these corner outfielders has to be gone, just because we've talked about it. This isn't because the Padres, you know, think that neither one of them can play, or that one of them can't play, or the guy that goes is worse than the guy who stays. That'll just be how it works out, and how it had to work out because of the roster construction. You know what? Very, very likely that Lucchesi and Lauer are here. But here's the reality on that. The pitching, while it is highly unproven, of course, there is an awful crowded competition for the starting rotation. I mean, at some point, you've got to start trading some of these young pitchers.
Oh, no question. I would have thought all along that at least one of those guys would be a fairly valuable trade chip. I mean, it's not like you're going to, you know, be able to just trade,
so
just give
that,
him Joey Lucchesi and say, give us Suarez.
Today, but the big thing now, and there is, it lends some urgency to what AJ Preller is trying to do. It's not necessary that he makes trades here in the next 12 days, but it would really help in terms of, you know, needing to fit guys like Austin Allen, Chris Paddock, Anderson Espinoza, Pedro Avila onto the 40-man roster. They need to make some room. Now, could they just get rid of Corey Spangenberg? Can they, you know, drop Jose Perella? Sure. But they would really much rather, probably it'd be both. They'll get rid of some guys, just flat out have to, you know, release them and maybe drop two or three guys, make a 3-for-1 swap. That's been the plan all along.
I would think a guy like a Swahe would be someone who's expendable off of the roster. And as we've written about before, and I think Jeff Sanders especially on this, they need to clear what, about half a dozen spaces on this roster right now?
Yes, that's accurate. Could be as many as 7, 8, but really, I think 5 or 6. Yes.
Right. So I think the combination there, like we've said, of dropping a couple guys, trading a couple guys, it's going to be an interesting, what, I guess a week and a half if the deadline's on the 20th.
Yep.
So
to set their roster for, yeah, for Rule 5.
For the Rule 5. So, yeah, I think, you know, It just makes it interesting going forward. And as you said, they don't have to make any deals now, but it sure would be, it probably would behoove them at this point to be able to find at least one deal, you know, between now and November 20 to clear some of that space. Was there anything else, Kevin, at the meetings that, that struck you? Any of the other talk? I know you didn't write about it, but we ran a little story in print today about rule changes and potential rule changes. Did you get any sense of what might happen on that front?
No, at first my main focus was really trying to nail down the Padres stuff, but did hear about that. I got the impression it's like real preliminary. It's kind of like, all right, we talk about the general managers about this stuff. What happens coming up this week, there's owners meetings and the competition committee, mm-hmm. where I think they really will get into, number one, where are we at with this whole too many strikeouts thing? Rob Manfred, the commissioner, has made it a priority, or believes it's a priority, I think, as all of us would like it to be, to see the ball in play more. And, you know, again, the ongoing pace of games. Those are the ones where my ears perked up, but really nothing beyond that.
Yeah, I saw someone, and I don't know, I would give this person credit if I could remember. It might have been Buster Olney, but or Jeff Passan, one of those guys, tweeted that maybe the general managers wouldn't really get anything done in terms of rule changes and sign stealing and all that kind of stuff, because they all think that they would get screwed by it, that like everybody else wants to cheat, and they don't, none of them really trust each other. So it would be more at the ownership level where something like that would
that's a good call, and that goes along with what the official line is, well, you know, there's not really a problem, or you know, everybody does it, or you know, some people don't think it's a problem, or you know, so that would be probably the more accurate way to put it is, well, I don't want to stop that rule because we do that.
Right, exactly. And I don't,
or quite, we might.
The sign stealing stuff, it's like, hey, protect your signals. I mean, that's kind of, to me, that's been part of the game. I mean, it happens in,
I think the big thing is the technology.
Right.
The technology that's being used. That's right. The big thing, because sign stealing is a part of the game forever. Dan Hallam, one of the assistant commissioners, was talking yesterday and was like, that's not against the rules. It's the technology mm-hmm. that's being used.
No, that makes some sense. So, all right. So the next big thing then is November 20, right?
The November 20th deadline to set those rosters, and you know, and basically what that is, the Rule 5 is you have to protect certain minor leaguers. If you were signed before you were 18, it's after you've had 5 years, I believe. I could be getting these backward, but
I think it might be 6 before 18 or 5 after 18 or something.
5
like that.
If yeah. you were signed after 18.
Right.
Okay. And so, you know, like I mentioned, Anderson Espinosa, Chris Paddock, Austin Allen, Pedro Avila, there's a couple others, perhaps Hansel Rodriguez, but these are, you know, guys, and next year there'll be even more that they have to protect and make sure they're on the roster. So that's the big thing. And then, of course, the December 9th through the 13th in Las Vegas, the winter meetings, and evidently get crazy there.
Well, and especially in Vegas, you know, I mean,
I guess it's just fast and furious there.
You and Sanders in Vegas. I almost feel like we need to send a chaperone.
I am Jeff's chaperone
to keep you guys in line or something. So, okay, well, we will, we're, it's good to get back on the pod train here, and seemed like a good time to catch up, and we'll make sure that we do it again when there's a development, either with a trade you know, certainly when the Padres, you know, let some guys go or trade some guys before this November 20 deadline.
Right on. Thank you so much, Jay.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.